about that Jesus life. A lot of times it's been unfairly attributed, I think, to Gandhi, or maybe it was Gandhi who said it. Who knows for sure? But there was a statement made that went like this. It's not so much Jesus that I have a problem with. I like Jesus. It's those Christians that are the problems. And I think that's sometimes a fair critique, because sometimes as Christian, as people who profess to not only know but live in a relationship with Jesus, we don't understand what it means to do that Jesus life. And today I want to talk about that Jesus life this Sunday, next Sunday, and then into our Be Rich. We're going to talk about what it means to relate to one another, what it means to pray for one another, what it means to serve each other, to give to each other, to love each other. And we're going to unpack that over the next several weeks together. But today I want to start out by asking you some questions. How many of you, and for some of you this is going to be a trip down memory lane a few years back. How many of you back in the day remember, here's what I remember as a kid, growing up with my parents, and sometimes we as a family would go out of town, and we would either, if our family couldn't, sometimes we'd ask one of our neighbors, hey, mom or dad, probably my dad, would go and say, hey, we're going to be out of town for a bit. Would you mind keeping an eye on the house for us? How many remember a conversation similar to that in your house growing up, maybe, with somebody? Or how many back in the day remember this? Mom is cooking or baking, and as she's getting the ingredients all together, she realizes she's short some eggs or a cup of sugar, a cup of milk, and as one of the kids, hey, go over and see, and so-and-so, our neighbor has a, how many remember getting sent for milk or eggs? Okay, you know what? That doesn't happen as much anymore in this culture. Neighborhoods, neighbors, we live in our residence and we don't interact a whole lot. That may not be true for you, but that's true for many, many people. And today I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about what it means to be a good neighbor. What does it mean to go, hey, thanks, neighbor? I mean, that's kind of back in the old day, right? That's kind of what we think about a lot of times. But help me out just a little bit. What are some things that your neighbor did for you? What do you remember doing for each other as neighbors? Shout it out. You got to shout it loud so I can hear you. Shovel the drive. Shoveling snow, plow snow. Yeah, that's what. What else? Mow your yard for you. Yes. Anybody else? Anybody in the balcony got one?
Trim their trees.
Trim the trees, yeah. Or maybe water the plants. Wash what? Wash the dog, okay? Boy, that's above and beyond the call of duty. I've heard feed the dog, let the dog out, but wash the dog. Woo! Won't you be my neighbor? Anybody else? Make a meal. Take a meal to them. Anybody else? Pick up the mail. Yeah, pick up the mail. Get the newspaper. Put it in the garage. You know, somebody said last time, could you kind of look after my kids? Dang, I didn't know that was an option. Drop my kids off at your house. You look after them. I'll take off for a while. Didn't know that was even a possibility. Well, today, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what does it mean to love your neighbor. What does it mean to love your neighbor? Now watch. I don't just necessarily mean the people who live to your left and to your right, in front of your house and behind your house. And some of you maybe live in the country like I do. Your neighbor's a little further away. What does it really mean to love your neighbor? What does it mean to love those people who are like you? What does it mean to love those people who are unlike you? This is something that I think today, especially in the culture in which we live, is a much needed topic to discuss. I'm going to ask in this moment that you'll come with an open heart and open mind as we read the scriptures from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning the 34th verse. Jesus is having some interaction. Watch this story. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Like, okay, the Sadducees didn't get this done. It's our turn to go at this guy. And one of them, who was an expert in the law, of these Pharisees, the religious leaders, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first, and it's the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. I always love that imagery, church. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. It talks about a vertical relationship and the horizontal relationship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They hang on the law and the prophets. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. The very meaning when he gave his life on the cross. So when we talk about loving our neighbor, that's very important to what we do at North Webster Church of God. Most of you know that our mission at North Webster Church of God is to connect people to Jesus and to one another. We've determined as the leadership and as for the body of Christ at this local gathering that we want to do that in four elements. We believe that every human being that walks the face of the earth is in one of these elements, if not more than one. In other words, we want to connect people to Jesus and to one another, in our families, in our schools, in our businesses, and in our neighbors. In our neighbors. It's interesting that also the Gospel of Luke talks about a time when Jesus was approached by another expert in the law and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied as he often would. He didn't really answer the question. He answered it by asking that guy another question. He says, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you interpret it? How do you read it?" The expert in the law replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus looked at the expert and he said this, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But before the expert of the law finished the conversation, it says he turned back to Jesus to justify himself. Justify means I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to kind of make sure I get this. And he asked Jesus this very poignant question, "Who is my neighbor?" And that's the question I want to ask you today. Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? You know, if you have to ask the question, you're probably already a bad neighbor. If you have to ask for a definition of neighbor, right? If you have to ask, you're probably like this guy. You're trying not to do any more than what you absolutely have to do for them. He's like, "Who's my neighbor?" That's the question we're going to ask today. I'm going to ask it a little bit differently. I'm going to ask you, what does it mean to care about the welfare of your neighbor in the same way that you care for the welfare of yourself and your own family? And I want to be very clear as we have this discussion this morning. We're not talking about this from the eyes of the government. We're talking about this from the eyes of the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay? Are we on the same page? We're not talking about this as citizens of the United States of America. We're talking about this as the blood-washed saints who are citizens in the kingdom of heaven because of Jesus. So let's make sure we have that understood. And then ask ourselves this question: what role, what responsibility as a follower of Jesus when it comes to loving my neighbor as myself? What's my role? What's my responsibility? Well, the first thing is then, if you got to love your neighbor as yourself, how do you love yourself? I mean, think about that. It's not too hard, right? How do you love yourself? We feed ourselves. I do a pretty good job of that. We feed ourselves. We clothe ourselves. We protect ourselves and our family, our loved ones. We put a shelter over ourselves and our family. Here's what Jesus is saying. If that's how you love yourself, then with that same love in the same way, do that for your neighbor. Interesting that the word neighbor that's used in the original language, it simply means this: any other person. Where two are concerned, the other one. We're talking about the other one. We're not talking about you. We're talking about the other one. That's the neighbor. Any other person. Here's what Jesus is saying. When I tell you to love your neighbor as yourself, this isn't about your self-love. This isn't just about you taking care of you. This is about that self-love, taking it, stretching it, extending it for the general welfare of every other man, woman, and child. That's what this is. This is what he's talking about when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. So how do you do that? Well, let's talk about that. And it's going to get, I'm just going to tell you right up front, at first it's not too bad, but as we descend a little deeper into this discussion, it's going to get a little bit, you're going to have to keep a more open mind and open heart. I just promise you will. When it comes to loving your neighbor as yourself, here's what we have to understand. We have to love others who don't think like me. It's easy to love those who think like I think. It's hard to love sometimes those who don't think like I think. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've got neighbors that are overs and unders. You know what I'm saying? Overs and unders. Well, you'll get it in a second. I've got neighbors. There are two kinds of people, the over kind and the under kind. Those who get it, those who don't get it. If you're this, man, you are lost. You don't have a clue what's going on. The only way you put your toilet paper on the roll is the over kind, right? Not the under. I get amen. Yes, thank you. Some of you are like, I'm done with this message already. I have neighbors that are optimists and pessimists. Some see the glass half full, some see it half empty. How many optimists do we have in the house today? Raise your hand. You're the optimists out there. Yeah, we can't stand you. Because you're the kind that hope against all hope. Things have a way of working out for the best. And a pessimist says, that'll never work. And you know what the pessimist says? At first you don't succeed, give up. The optimist says, you know, there's a light at the end of every tunnel. So keep your chin up there, happy camper. The pessimist says, man, just expect the worst. That way you're never disappointed, right? People who don't think like me. Then I've got neighbors who are fast people, fast thinkers, fast processors, and you got slow processors. Come on, let's just be real. How many slow processors are in the house today? You drive me absolutely nuts. I'm a fast processor. It was interesting, on our trip, the four of us pastors went away. We had some time together, and we were just talking about the differences in each of us. And as the lead pastor, I was talking with our executive pastor. This is your lead pastor. This is your executive pastor when it comes to processing. And he would own that to you as well, right? So here's the thing. There are times I'm like, would you just, come on, man. Aren't you with track with me and give me some time? I have to learn to give him some patience, some time to think it through. But here's what I know about my buddy Tim, Pastor Tim. A lot of times he'll think things through really well, not half-baked, and when he speaks, I need to listen. This dude, he just speaks and hope it works out sometimes. That's me, right? How many fast processors again do we have in the house? Sometimes for us, we think out loud, we process out here, and a lot of times we have to come back and eat our word and say, I'm really sorry, would you forgive me for what I just said and did, because I didn't think that through real well. There's good and there's bad in both. Would you agree to that? There's a time for both of them. But here's what I know. When the Bible says, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, I gotta love the fast ones and the slow ones. The positive ones, the negative ones, the overs, the unders. Loving my neighbor even includes neighbors that are Cardinal fans and Cub fans. All I can say about that is the Cub fans were sitting on the couch watching more than the Cardinals were this year, but we're all on the same couch now watching, right? We're all on the same couch now watching. Loving my neighbors. There are people who don't think like me, and that includes them. Loving my neighbors includes those who don't look like me. I mean, some of my neighbors are old, and some of my neighbors are young, right? How many of you remember growing up when you were a kid? And I'm talking about your physical resident neighbor. You lived to that old crotchety crank of a guy, right, or gal. and you'd be playing ball with your friends in the backyard, and you hit your ball into their yard, and you're like, I ain't going over there. You go get it. I ain't going to go get it. And pretty soon, old crotchety man comes out. He gets it, and he takes it back in. You ain't getting your ball back ever, right? You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of, they don't think like me. They don't even look like me. They're old. They're crotchety. And then there's the older person who sees the rambunctious, right, boisterous teenager who lives just down the street, who always has their music blaring in their car too loud, and every time you see them coming, you're like, oh, here comes trouble. Just look at them, right? I mean, we see things because we have trouble sometimes because we look different than everybody else. My neighbors are black. Some are white. Let that one sink for a little bit. With all the Black Lives Matter and the white privilege. Will our country, will our people, will humanity ever overcome racism? Racial divides. Some are divided by race, some are divided by ethnicity, a little mix of both. This got really hot about a few years ago. It's still hot today, but this got really, it turned it up another notch along Highway 65 in Arkansas when this placard made it on the freeway. It's not racist to love your people. WhitePrideRadio.com. The whole Black Lives Matter thing is going on and talking about white privilege, and so the director of the Knights Club of the KKK had this sign up. In an interview, he said, the sign's message is simply this: white people have the right to be proud of who they are. There are many in that community who took quite offense to that, felt that was very racist. I would suggest to you that the gospel calls us to be colorblinded. Doesn't mean that we have to be colorblind. Doesn't mean that we might not notice that my skin's a little lighter, a little darker than somebody else's, but I don't let that define the relationship. I don't let that define whether I love them or like them or not. No, I'll agree with a little bit. I don't know if he was really meaning that or not, but here's what I'll say. It's not racist to love your people, the people that look like you. But it is racist to love only those people. Are we clear? It's not racist to love people that look like me. It's only racist if I only love people that look like me. If you don't think that's true, I want to take you down memory lane because I want to show you where Jesus, when he answered the Pharisee, where he pulled this from. He's speaking out of Scripture. He's speaking out of the law. Turn with me if you have time to the back of your Bible. In the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And you're going to see this all come together in the Scriptures. God is speaking to the Israelites in this setting. And he's saying that you must love your fellow countrymen. You must love each other. People who are like you. Israelites, you ought to love your fellow Israelites. But as we'll see as we go through Leviticus 19, you'll see that God is also saying to the Israelites that they must have concern, that they must also have love for all people, not just those who look like them, but those who don't look like them. When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, well, watch this get unpacked for a second in Leviticus 19, beginning in verse 9. God says this: when you reap the harvest of your land, okay, now he's talking to the agrarians, the farmers, right? Do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time. You know, all the grapes you dropped and you missed? He says, don't pick up those grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor people and the foreigners among you. I am the Lord your God. Now, I want you to notice something here. Right here, he's talking about how to treat one another. And in case you miss it, he wants to remind you who's telling you this. It's not your mom, it's not your pop, it ain't just the religious leaders of your day. I am the Lord your God. I'm the one who's telling you. This is coming from God Almighty, right? Now listen to what he says as he goes on. Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. There it is again. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. You hear that? People who look like me. But love your neighbor, there it is, as yourself, I am the Lord. Here's what God's saying. Love your people. Love your fellow Israelites. Love those people who look like you. But now watch. Watch where God even, he stretches it and extends it in verse 33 of the same chapter. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. I want to stop and let that sink in for a second. The foreigner that resides among you must be treated as your native born. You mean like as if they were born in this same country that I am? Love them. How? As yourself. For you and me were foreigners, the Israelites, in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Did you hear some words jump off of there? Love them as yourself. Why? Why, God? God says, because you were once foreigners. He says, let's go back memory lane. Do you remember when you were foreigners living in a foreign land? You remember when you didn't live in Israel, when you lived in Egypt? Do you remember when you were slaves? Do you remember how they treated you harshly? Do you remember how you wished they would have treated you instead? Now that you remember that, and you remember that I brought you out of that, love those neighbors, love those foreigners as if they were born in the same country you were born, and love them as yourself. And by the way, in case you forgot, I am the Lord. That's who's saying it to you. The great I am. Man. You see, all around me, around you, church, I have neighbors who are citizens of this country, and I also have people who are migrants and immigrants and foreigners. And here's the thing. There is so much talk about this, right? Immigration policies, immigration laws, foreign people, migrants, immigrants. And when you see all of this in the news and you see different pictures of different events, I just want to ask you something. Does it make you mad? Does it make you sad? Does it break your heart? Make sure we're clear here. I'm not talking about policies right now. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not even talking about how they came here and how many have come here. I'm asking you this simple question. Do you have a heart for people like God does? A love for your neighbor, in the same way that you would love yourself and your family. See, church, for some of us, call ourselves Jesus people. I think we're letting our politics and our passions for keeping our nation safe. It's getting in the way of what God is wanting to do in our hearts to transform us to the place that we love people like he loves people. And maybe the best thing that you could do right now, and we're going to do this, and I'm going to give you this chance at the end, for some of us it's just a time to confess and to repent. It's where we say, Holy Spirit, soften my heart toward people of every tribe and tongue and nation. I'll confess before you, there are times that I'm not proud about the thoughts that I think and the words that I say. It can be about politics, of which other side of the aisle, those people are idiots. What? How could they be so stupid? It can be as simple as the times that we have traveled to Disney down in Florida. And have you ever waited in those long lines when you got little kids and it's like 100 in the shade and you're like, oh. And maybe it's you're just waiting in line to get a drink and it's not even a ride. And you've waited 15, 20 minutes or more. And you're just about up there and then somebody cuts in front of you. How do you feel about that? Now watch. I'm mad enough if it's a big 6'3", 200 pounds white guy that looks like me. But it's a whole different thing, seems like sometimes, when it's somebody whose skin color is not the same as me and looks like they came from a distant land, and they do it, and they don't speak my language. I'm like, who do you think you are? Do you see the flesh? Why does it matter? The color of the skin, the language they speak. I got cut in by either one. That's still suppressed. Why does one have a little height and more? I got to confess, Lord Jesus, forgive me for that. Forgive me for those moments where I come across racist, where I think thoughts that I haven't thought. You see, I think that sometimes in America we are coming to this place of tribalism where everybody's in their tribe and we forget that there's individuals. Can we just be real? I know, I hear this. I have black friends too. Like, I don't know what it's like to walk in their shoes. I don't. And I can't make up for what's happened in the past and this whole idea of white privilege, but here's what I know. I don't know what it's like. I have a Hispanic brother who lives in another state across the way, and he tells me, man, Jeff, there's times I worry for my girls when I send them to school just because of the way they look, that they're going to be taken aside more than the others and ask different questions, and I'm like, I don't know what that's like. And I'm not naive enough to think it doesn't happen. But sometimes we think that somebody who has a different skin color than us is always out to get us, maybe, when they're not. Just the same as that the world sometimes thinks that every Christian's a bigot and a hater, and they're not. Can I give you one advice? This week, as you go through this week, look at people as individuals. Oh, yeah, they may be in this grouping called Christian, or they may be African-American, or they may be white, or they may be Hispanic, or they may be LGBTQ. I don't know how they've been pigeonholed, but could it be that every one of them is an individual who is created in the image of God, and it's not fair to make one assumption of one person in that tribe that stands that makes it the true for all the people in the tribe? Do you hear what I'm saying? I hope this is making sense. Because I went in the notes, just Holy Spirit softened my heart toward people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. See, loving my neighbor, it includes those who don't think like me, those who don't look like me, it includes those who don't vote like me. Are we getting a little close now? You have neighbors who share your worldview. You have neighbors who absolutely do not share your worldview. These are the ones we're called to love as ourselves. Man, I got neighbors, you know what I'm saying? I got neighbors, those Looney Tune leftist liberals, holy cow. And I got neighbors, those screw loose, crazy, far right conservatives. We got people who subscribe to Make America Great Again and stubbornly support Donald Trump come hell or high water. We got those who wholly despise President Donald Trump with every fiber of their being, and they are hopeful for an impending impeachment, and they can't wait for that day. But church, listen to me. This is not a Republican. This is not a Democratic thing. This is a Jesus thing. It's about talking about that Jesus life. That's what we're talking about here today. See, loving my neighbor It involves people who don't think like me, people who don't look like me, people who don't vote like me, and includes loving those who don't believe like me or you. See, my neighbors are Christians, but they're also atheists. My neighbors are Christian, but they're also Muslim and Hinduists and Judaism. My neighbors are heterosexual, but they're also homosexuals or LGBTQ. My neighbors are pro-life, but there's also pro-choice. And the question I'm asking us today from the scripture is simply this: why am I not as concerned for the general welfare of my neighbor as I am for my own self and my family? Jesus doesn't say, love only your neighbor who thinks like you. Love only your neighbor. You can love your neighbor, but love only the ones who look like you. Love only those neighbors who vote like you. Love only those neighbors who believe exactly like you believe. It doesn't say that. Jesus simply says, love your neighbor. Any other person, where two are concerned, he's talking about the other. Love them just as you would love yourself. So I don't know where this hit today. Some of you may have, you know, done it point two, like, I can't take any more of this stuff. I want us to be real today. I want you to have an opportunity to own some stuff as a believer. I'm not trying to beat you up, but I'm trying to say, man, sometimes Christians are considered bigoted and hatred, and I don't think that's always fair. I'll be the first to say that. But sometimes we deserve those comments because sometimes we're not very loving. We're not very caring. We don't really care about the general welfare of another. So here's what I want to do, and this is a little risky, you know. Maybe you came with somebody, a family unit, friend. Maybe you're here by yourself, and man, if it's like, I don't know, man, I'm just going to just do this myself, that's fine. But I'm going to ask you to turn around with some people. Maybe it's a group of four. Maybe it's just a group of two. Maybe it's a group of three. I don't care how you do it. But here's what I want to do just the next 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Here's what I want you to do. I know we're going over a little bit. It's okay. I want you to tell another person, confess to them, loving someone else like myself, it's the hardest one. They don't look like me. Or for you, maybe it's they don't vote like me. They don't believe like me. They don't think like me. What is it for you? I want you to just take a minute each, or if a group, you know, a little longer, but I just want you to turn, and I want you to confess this to somebody. And then I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you pray for one another? If this person struggles with that and you don't, or maybe you're struggling with the same thing, ask God to soften and tender your heart so that you can be a better lover of people, all people. Okay? So here we go. I'm going to turn you loose. And then here, what I'm going to do, I'm going to call you back in just a second, in just a few minutes, and then I'm going to pray for all of us together, okay? But I'm asking you to use this time. If maybe you don't need to talk to anybody, you just need to come up here and kneel at the front and say, God, I just need to confess, and I need to do it in a public way. I'm sorry for the attitude of my heart. Then feel free to do that as well if that's what you need. This is your time. Sounds like there's some good discussion, but I'm going to call you back, and you can feel free to continue this conversation afterwards. I hope it does continue a little bit, but I also want to say this to some of us today. Some of us, in an effort to be more loving, to do the right things, our heart has grown hard. We become maybe even judgmental against other believers. For some of us, maybe one of the best steps you could take this next week is to stay off Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, because it's not doing your heart any good. And you see somebody else say something that just makes you mad, well, maybe I ought to break your heart. Maybe you don't know the shoes that they've walked in that have got them to this conclusion that's different than yours. It's so easy to put things out there and then stand behind a guy, I know. We live in a country where we don't know how to sit down and have honest, open dialogue. We may walk away not agreeing with each other, but we can still be kind and still be loving toward each other. Maybe for you, you need to turn off CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and be a hermit for a little bit and just say, Lord, of these things that we talked about, I don't need any extra noise out there right now. But I know there's some areas in this in my own life where I'm not loving like you've called me to love. So, God, how do I do that differently? To let him work in you and through you in these areas. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you thought, eh, this was, you know, I know it wasn't real deep, it's very practical. But if you're like, eh, I don't like that much, then don't come back next Sunday. Because next Sunday we're going to talk about your enemies and what Jesus says. Some of you are like, well, some of these were our enemies, then maybe you need to come back. I'm just saying. But if you'll allow me, here's what I'd like to do. I want to let you go right now, but before I do, I want to pray for you and for us and for me. I'm going to make this about we and us and our, but as I pray it, might you make it personal for you as well. Would you just bow your heads where you're at and join my heart in honest confession and repentance before the Lord? Lord Jesus, soften and make pliable our hearts today. Ignite within our hearts a love for our neighbors, regardless of their politics, their positions, the color of their skin, their sexuality, their nationality, their country of origin, or even their belief systems. Jesus, forgive us when we become so full of ourselves and we stubbornly pursue self-love, the exclusion, the expulsion of others that are around us. Forgive us when we forget that we were once foreigners, far away and separated from a relationship with God because of our own sinful self. Remind us, oh, thank you, Jesus, by your shed blood and invitation. We each have been given an adoption option to become children of God and declared citizens within your kingdom. God, I confess, as we sang earlier, I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away, the reckless love of God for me. So now, God, as we begin this new week, help each of us to give ourselves away a little bit. Help us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. And then from that same love, enable and empower us by your Holy Spirit to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Even those neighbors who don't think like us, they don't look like us, they don't vote like us, they don't believe like us. Develop, grow, and mature that love into the heart of each and every one in this room that claims the name of Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. May we each leave this place now determined to live that Jesus life. I ask in the powerful name of Jesus, who died, was buried, and rose again to set us free. It's in his powerful name that the church said in agreement. Amen? Amen. So be it. Go with God, and he'll go with you. We'll see you next Sunday.